When I was in secondary school, we used to do midnight call.
Jesus Christ. What did you used to do?
All them boys be like, oh, wow, your voice is so nice. Oh, you're talking voice. I'm like, yeah. Dubai, I didn't even used to know.
No, but people would
be thinking that I was putting on with my voice. They thought I was just trying to do sexy voice. No,
you know, in a different life, you could have worked well for Yahoo Boys to help them with clients. I still think it's a path you can consider.
No, thank you.
It can be quite lucrative.
No, thank you.
You don't want?
No, thank you. I don't believe in.
What's that thing they say? You're leaving money on the table.
Cheating people, deceiving people, taking their money and their.
Do you want me to leave all this in because we're recording?
They worked hard for.
Do you want me to leave all this in because we're recording already?
Sure, why not?
Okay. I still think it's a lucrative thing that you can consider.
I'm not interested. Thank you.
Okay, fair enough.
Thank you.
It's okay. You're welcome. Something came to my mind. I want to say something, right? I need you to laugh when I say it so that it doesn't come off the wrong way. But you know how you know that deodorant is now expensive, right? I think I just want to remind everybody that body odor is not exclusive to men. It's very important we remember that.
Why is it very important we remember that?
It's not exclusive to men.
Okay, but why are we emphasizing this point in this particular moment?
This week,
yeah, putting you on this but since you have brought it up,
I've had some experiences that I feel like if we were all more aware that it's not just men that can smell bad, it would be better for everybody. Do you get? A word they say is enough for the wise, so I'll leave it there. But really,
I mean,
and
you
truly,
said several words.
Like a Nigerian mother. You talk for 1 hour, you say, I'm tired. I don't want to say too much. But real. I just need people to remember that. It will help everybody. Because you know sometimes you can be in your own space, doing your own thing, and then somebody will walk past you. And you're like, Jesus. Yeah.
That is so hot too.
It is hot too. So I think we should all do a little bit more to consider the people around us. Yeah. And again, guys, body odor is not exclusive to men. So yeah, I think that's a good way to start the podcast. Have you?
Well, I guess so. You have let the people know that one should be observant of.
Yeah, we all should. We all should. We all should.
B.O.
It is very bad.
Secondary school seems so fiery now. That's just random, but I was just thinking about that.
You know how old we're getting, Dolly?
It's so weird.
You're asking me what was I doing 20 years ago? I was in primary 4. Dude, how mad that is.
Ago,
Jesus.
I was in primary 4 too.
It's wild. That was when we started writing with pen for the first time.
I started writing with pen for the first time in primary 3.
Oh, yeah.
They allowed us from primary 3.
I think ours was primary 3 too. Was it 4?
It was so exciting to write with pen.
Yeah, it was.
Ah, primary school. That was the last time I came first.
I love the honesty.
I mean, no, and let me tell you, I was on a streak for a minute. I was on a really good streak. Like, I'm telling you, I was just coming first. It didn't even make sense because I didn't even feel like I was putting that much effort.
It was just natural.
I was just doing well. Ah, then one day I came second.
That's when life hits you.
It did. I feel like it came so unexpected. And they say it was because of math. I knew it. I feel like it was from that moment, me and math just...
You just went your separate ways.
Yeah. And I did not confess again.
Oh, my days. I think...
I don't know.
Primary school. I don't even remember. But it was a good time. What I remember is we used to have they used to name the primary school and the nursery school different. So marigold, what's marigold? Is that a flower or a bird?
I don't know. I know it's chat, but I don't know.
Yeah, jasmine. There was jasmine. There was marigold, penguin. So whichever penguins are birds. So they used to name the nursery schools after birds in SMGS then, and then the primary school was named after flowers because primary 6 was tulip. Or was it primary 5 that was tulip? Something like that, sure.
Interesting.
Yeah, so whatever marigold is, I don't know if that's a bird or a flower, but that was in one of them. There was marigold, penguin, jasmine, tulip. I think I was in tulip B. If I was in tulip B, then tulip was primary 5. Yeah, tulip. And then it was just hilarious then. And I remember we all wanted to move from birds to flowers.
Man.
But yeah, that was the thing.
I just had a memory. Remember? I don't think acting is for me.
Dolly, a lot of things are not for you. You tried dancing.
Let me tell you.
You tried
dancing. When I was in primary school, they said they wanted us to do one drama like this. I don't even remember how they organized the show, but the whole essence of the drama, it was supposed to play out, I think, now that I read my Bible, I believe it's Revelation chapter 5.
Yeah.
It's sure the one where in the scripture says that, you know, in heaven, you know, it was asked who is worthy enough to open the seal.
Yeah.
And everybody, nobody was answering. Nobody, yeah, you know, was saying they were. And then I remember the John the apostle was sad. He was grieved because he felt like, wow, there's nobody who is worthy to open the seal. And then here comes the Lamb. You know, the Lamb, yeah, of God, who basically is worthy to blah blah blah. So that's the whole point of, yeah, the story they were trying to portray.
Were
so
the
way they said that we should do it,
yeah,
was like everybody was going to be sitting on like a long table.
Mm-hmm.
People that were acting, we're presenting this at assembly, mind you. We had practiced this so many times.
Wait. Primary school assembly, which means, yes, straight from home. You guys started assembly.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh my God, the worst.
I think, yeah, so. Yeah, yeah, it had on to be anyway. Yeah. It's on a long table, so you know everybody is sitting on a table, and then they ask the question, who is worthy to open the, yeah, seal or whatever, and then all of us were supposed to put our head down because, you know, we're not worthy to open, yeah, the seal. And then I can't remember how they formed it, but somebody, I guess,
will now come.
We were at assembly. Well, I practiced this, mind you, again. Mm-hmm. Simple
straightforward line. Just sit down, bend your head.
I was sitting like at maybe like the other end, and so they were the person with the mic, maybe the teacher was, yeah, at the kini. They asked the question, and I'm telling you, I don't know what I was thinking about, but I was so lost in thoughts. I was thinking about certain things. My mind, see, this is my thinking brain. It's not today. I was in such deep thoughts, thinking. I'm just sitting on the chair, and I'm just thinking. The next thing, I just looked in my hand and I see that everybody's head is down. I say, yo, let me put my head down.
You missed the cue. All you had to do was bend your head.
Listen, I just said, wow. I was like, simple. I was so sure I was going to nail it. Like, it's not hard. Put your head down. Who is worthy to bend the head? I did not bend it. I ruined it. I mean, but they still had the alarm, come on.
I mean, of course.
But wow, I that memory just came into my head. It's so funny because I see myself just sitting down in thoughts.
You know,
thinking about what I don't know.
You know, my memory of primary school, right, is that I didn't know that I was short until I got to secondary school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you used to feel tall.
I just never saw it as anything.
Shut up.
I never saw it as anything. I just knew I was always in front. Yeah. Well, no, I never saw it as anything. With my
big bag. In fact, you're even excited to be in front.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, assembly is like they start from the front.
Mm.
So always being in front, and it's you they will look out, call the example when their mem teachers are walking around, checking uniform. Mm-hmm. My mom will always make me prim and proper.
Nice.
So I never saw it as anything until we got to secondary school.
Yeah.
Life. And I used to play the drums
in
primary school. That was very nice.
I miss playing the keyboard. I'm thinking about getting a keyboard.
I think you should. I think as we get older, we just lose all these things that could be interesting.
I'm finding myself getting interested in just the things that used to be
simple things, right?
Joys.
Yeah.
I bought a coloring book the other day.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah. I got a coloring book
this
the other
me
day.
With
and I particularly bought the color by numbers. I used to love that when I was a child.
Mm.
I love those ones that you see number one.
Yeah. And
you
then
know that you're coloring. And I went to Ebano the other day. Like, I think it was last week, actually, that I bought it. I went there, and I was just like, oh, let me even go and look. Because I've been wanting to buy my friend's son, like, a coloring book,
yeah,
for his birthday just passed. So I was like, let me even go and see what is there. Let me see if there's anything, too, that I can buy for myself. And that color by numbers is what I wanted.
Okay.
I didn't know that that's what they called it, but I knew what it was.
Yeah.
I was looking, and then I now saw the book.
No, it makes sense, right?
And I saw the color by numbers. I said, oh, my God, this is exactly what I've been looking for. And I checked the price. It was decent enough.
Mm.
I saw some colors Don't buy cheap colors, guys, because I bought cheap colors.
Nah, no, no,
you know, I mean, they're okay. It's just that they break, so...
Yeah.
You know, so the colors I bought, and I've been coloring, and it's been great.
It feels good. It's like anytime I travel to the UK, I go to WH Smith to buy those, what do you call them now? Crosswords. Because like I just always, it doesn't matter how old I am, I just think those things help. Like oh my god, I'm looking for this word, and you spend 10 minutes and you genuinely feel good after. Mm-hmm. It's just the simple things, you know, as you get older. It's the simple things.
I do it regularly. Then so now I want a keyboard. I used to know how to play. I know that I'll pick it back up. The thing with all those things is that you just need to be practicing it a lot. If you practice a lot, you will get it. I know the basics of playing a keyboard.
I used to play in church, did I tell you? I used to play a keyboard in church. I think I must have said this on the pod, but then, I just left all that behind.
You probably have
keyboard, violin, and drums. But then, as I got older and all that stuff, I just left it behind. I think later in life, I'll go back to it.
Yeah, I used to play the clarinet. But I was never really fond of the clarinet, to be very honest. I think it was just, I don't know, the instrument that was recommended. I got it.
Just like I used to
play. But I was never really fond of it, actually. I think I should have just kept on playing the keyboard. I think
it's never too late. I mean, you can still do it.
Yeah, I'm going to start it again. I don't know when, because economy is tough and
there's no light and it's noisy. It's noisy. It's loud.
The keyboard is not even. It's more so about the money. So I'm seeing keyboard of like 200k. I'm not trying to like spend that.
That's like me recently. I wanted to buy a bicycle.
Please, if anybody has it, you want to buy a bicycle?
Yeah, I wanted to, because I could use it for my gym runs and the grocery runs.
That makes sense.
But have you seen the prices of bicycles? Bruh, I'd rather spend money on fuel.
Listen.
Like, bruh, the price of bicycles.
Yeah.
And also because a lot of these guys are using them now, delivery people.
Delivery guys.
So there's not a like proper hike.
Because if anybody has a used, don't worry, you can have had it for like the last 10
You know what's
years.
Funny? If you had said this months ago, I have one in Port Harcourt, would have just brought it.
Oh no.
Because yeah, we just moved our stuff out of the house. I'd have brought it. It's the one I used to play.
Where is it?
It's in my house. Still there.
Still there.
But I can't bring just that, so.
Yeah.
Or maybe anytime you're in Port Harcourt next, I can arrange for you.
Only God knows where.
I know.
Man, anyway, almost 7 years old.
Mine was 2018.
Wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really, if you have a keyboard like and you're willing to sell it, not for 200k, please. Not for 100k.
Giveaway price, preferably less than 20k.
I mean, if you are willing, I'll be down for that.
That's not
like,
a bad one.
Please, not.
Yeah.
I really want a keyboard. Like, I'll buy music books and start playing from the beginning again.
When I was younger, I could never read, but I could play. I couldn't read music, but I could play by ear.
Oh, that's actually really good. That's dope. I was never really a pretty play-by-ear person.
I was always, in fact, it was part of why I used to feel music, because I couldn't read it, but like once I hear, like if you hum it or whatever, I start to play it, and
yeah,
they were like, that's not good enough, you need to be able to listen. And I was like, I'm sorry, to read. And I was like, nah, I'm not interested.
I used to feel so above that I could read music.
I can imagine it.
Yeah, like, so I can look at them like, that's a flat.
It's the attitude.
Yeah, you gotta puff up your chest, you know. I read music, you don't. I know Beethoven. Do you know who Handel is?
You know what? I can see the attitude.
Oh, you know who Chopping? Do you know who Chopping is?
My God.
Anyway, okay, that's just
time flies, time changes. Hi guys, Isaac here,
Dolly here. Welcome to episode 224.
Yes, 224.
Oh, the Rooted Podcast. 224 in 2024.
Who wants the rain? There's the year.
Anyway, welcome guys. Hope you guys are okay. Hope you've had a good week. How was your week?
I don't know. I act like I'm okay, but I want a care package from a brand. I just want to go on Instagram and be like, oh my God, guys, this brand sent me this, and just feel
that
appreciated.
Yeah, it would be nice.
So if you have a brand out there and you want to send me something, please feel free.
I just want to receive something.
Just something that I'll be like, oh my God, you guys, this is
really
it.
Like,
yeah, you see? And also, how did my week go? My week was good. I think I'm an influencer.
Oh, shame.
Yeah, within my circle, a lot of people reached out this month, this past week, and said they've started going to the gym. And I feel good about that.
They had something I wanted to ask about that.
Yeah, go on.
We're talking about this, our gym, for the last...
Is it what they faced this week?
Yes.
Let's not highlight it, please.
No, why not?
Because you people made TJ email me.
No.
TJ emailed all of us.
What did he say? I know TJ for my fitness. What did he say?
People dragged TJ. TJ said that they had been announcing that they would take the juice, which I don't want us to really go into this because this is not, they're not paying us. But I sort of understood the complexity of the situation at hand, right? So there were so many moving parts in terms of the complaints. In my own experience, I know they had been telling me they would take the juice, right? Mm-hmm. So what they were going to use it for, nobody could ever answer. But that they were going to take it, yes, I knew that.
You knew.
So I wasn't offended that they took it. And then how they took it, again, when you sign up, they tell you this is how we're going to be doing it. So I wasn't upset about that also. What I was more upset about was I can't still find a direct link for what is being used for. But when you take a step back and look at it as a business, I sort of understand. So I think the major thing here was a communication issue, right? Which is more like, I think if they had just explained that, see, things are hard. It's an annual thing. And they've always said that. They've always said they would take it. They've always said when they would take it. So I had no problem with that. What they were going to use it for, if they had explained it before they took it, that would have helped to pacify people.
So
that's just my take on
it. This is my issue with it. And you know, like, me personally, right, I like iFitness, right?
Yeah,
I like it because when I used to go there, I liked the environment, I liked the culture. I felt like, at least, again, I only used to go to one branch. I've only gone to the Agungi branch, right? So I can't talk, I speak for all the other branches or how they are like, but I always like that. But you know, I had my own complaint as well with iFitness late last year. They did something like that, you know. I hadn't been to the gym in like close to a year. And then all of a sudden,
they just build you.
They build me. And I could not understand it. And that didn't really vex me. I went on Twitter and I spoke about it at the time. But, you know, I still did not want to like down them because I just felt like, you know, maybe this was just like a mistake on their part. I feel like what they should do, even though I understand times are hard, but times are hard as well for the people that are coming, do you understand? And I feel like they should have probably done a situation where, like, okay, so you know how, like, and I'm sure you know this, but recently, since I've been doing project management, I've heard about like change management, right? And I didn't know that was a whole thing.
Oh, it's a whole thing, yeah.
To adopt it. And I think that is what they should have done. I feel like they should have done a situation whereby, because when you're taking money out of somebody's account, it's like just a completely different thing than, like, because again, think about it this way. I'm going to gym. I just want to work out for the month.
No, I get it. I get it.
I'm told that this is the amount of money I pay. Yeah. You already paid registration.
Yeah, which
fee
is
at the beginning. Yeah. Which is already like, you know, but okay, fine. You want to pay registration fee, fine. You know, at the point of that service, one is very much aware that they are paying a registration fee.
Mm-hmm.
There is no doubt about it. If you go there, you cannot get a normal membership without paying. And I feel like they should have done a scenario where, and I know it would be a lot, but it should have been a situation where, like, the people are very much aware that this is about to happen.
Okay, so
not just with the emails, because the thing is that, like, people sometimes, and I know that they can go under that kidney of like, yeah, we're sending emails.
Yeah, they
people
did.
Didn't see it.
They
and
did
that's
put
fair.
It everywhere.
But you know, also, do you know how many emails I've received from TJ since
I understand.
I don't always look at TJ's emails.
I understand you. Like, what I'm saying is, from the objective analysis of this thing, it was a communication issue.
Because
you go back to when you actually sign up, they do tell you they take annual membership dues for.
So maybe when I first started, they tell you where.
It's in the...
It's
in the contract.
L-O-L.
If more people actually pay attention to what they sign, you'll see it. It's right there. And you know the funny thing is, they tell you that it is valid for the year in which you actually sign up. Right? So if I sign up in January and I don't go and I cancel my membership until December, within that calendar year, I'm still going to pay those dues.
So you
which
know,
is what people
to,
did not
when
know.
When I used to go there, I don't think they used to take member. I feel like this is a new thing.
Well, the membership thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. But as I when I joined,
maybe
it was written there.
Part of like the changes in the economy and stuff like
probably.
That.
Probably.
I didn't. They didn't used to take
I just think they should have done a better job with communication.
Membership dues is crazy though.
But it's understandable. Because if you spread the membership dues down over 1 year, it's just like 1K. But if they were to increase their price, people would still lose their shit. So from a business perspective, you can't win. It's why there's this whole thing about crisis communication.
I feel like they should have done a situation whereby like people have to like, maybe the following month, people would have to actually like approach the staff. So maybe like you kind of like halt a membership. Or something. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whereby like it forces like a face to face. Because think about a person.
You can't do that for 16,000 people. It's not sustainable.
They have branches like all over. That's why like it's part
number,
of like
the number.
That's
of
why like it's part of like the what do you call it? The it's part of the adoption situation. Because you will do a situation whereby like you have whole and hey, I'm not trying to tell them what to do. Me. I'm not a business.
I think if I'm to think about how
I would have Mew as maybe a member, I would think that like maybe if you halt my payment or my kidney or my membership for that month,
then
you don't
be
take
forced
money
to come in.
Yes,
say
you
what's
don't take
on.
Money or what, and I'm like, hey, and you tell me that my membership did not go. Oh, this is. Then you not be like, oh, okay, I have to pay. I feel like that could have been like
that could,
an easier adoption
that
rate.
Could.
Because there are some people who don't have not maybe they have a membership, but maybe have not been.
But
there
I tell
for
you,
like
I tell
months.
You what though. I tell you what I did notice this what? Last week. The gym was full. People remembered that they actually paid for this thing.
LOL,
I was so upset
funny.
About it because so I came in and cars were everywhere, and I'm like, oh, for sure, you guys remember you have fitness. You have fitness.
That's
you because they've like reminded you guys that you still have. This thing running,
but I get it though.
Yeah,
when
I mean,
it comes,
it's
it comes
you can't win
money, and then I think the economy is just so like
people are very sensitive about money. It's why you have to be
money.
Extra about communication.
Yeah, people
now.
Are very sensitive about money.
I mean, I get that,
but yeah, I feel for them because let me tell you the reason why it would have been better if they did it this other way is just because ultimately, if they do it like this and you have so many people now demanding their money back, if I feel like it causes more.
I think we need to remove internet from reality. Not many people demanded their money back.
Well, good point.
Yeah, not many people did. There's a full reality on the internet, so be careful
it's
of
true,
that.
Shan.
Because packed this week, and that's just one branch. So I know that if you were to calculate it across, people remember that they are paying and they're probably fine.
I only saw two complaints.
Yeah.
So you know, but I just thought that was dimension that because I feel like we've been talking about them.
Yeah,
like
so for
few,
the good, let's also mention few, the bad. I get it. What does that
I still respect them, Sha. I still respect the brand. I still respect the founder. I still kind of like have, you know,
my only issue is that the AC has to work 24/7 now. So
economy.
Now I'm that guy. That black brush, this thing is not working. Yeah, I'm that
it's
guy
good.
Now.
I mean, if you are paying membership dues.
Yeah, this month alone, I've paid 41K to them. So they better make sure that AC works.
For the age,
the monthly,
fee?
No. The monthly and then the annual fee. Monthly
that
is 24 something and then 17 something. So yeah, it's also
that
why
is nasty.
I've been doing this thing all week.
Wasn't that January that you signed up?
No, I've been going since last year.
Okay, that's right. Because I saw on the Akini, on the post that they put up on Instagram that they are not charging like those that
started
in January 2024 membership.
No.
Like
it's,
this year.
It's for those of us
after
that were
January
there.
2024.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been doing this thing.
All right. That's just
Stairmaster.
Oh, yeah. I've been seeing
my legs are like rocks. I've been sleeping so well. Like the sleep is deep. It's like my body's like, bro, we need to recover. I beg. So that has been going well. What else? So this is for everybody. Tony Elumelu has floated Transcorp Power. So there's a new company on the Nigerian Stock Exchange, which is good. And the price has gone from 240 naira to 351. Because there's a rally. I'll leave that to anybody that
there's
can.
A rally.
No, like people are buying it apparently. And the stock has just been rising apparently. So yeah, more grease to their elbow. That's the first listing on the NGX this year. It was valued at 1.8 trillion, so that was good. Then I watched Avatar the movie, not the series, now the movie. And you know when
which
you
one
go
is the movie? Which one is the series? The people in blue
is the movie.
So you watched the movie?
Yeah, I watched the movie. I watched part two this week. You know when you go to buy a new TV, LG TV, and they just keep showing you those background things to show the color thing? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like when you go and buy, that's exactly what that movie felt like. It just felt like a huge 3-hour advert of, oh my God, your TV can show different colors. And then the final 30 minutes finally made sense.
I've never understood the interest in Avatar. Let me not lie to you. Like, when that movie came out, was it like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
When it first came out, everybody was talking about, like, Avatar. I said, okay, one day, I said, let me watch it now. When I tell you that, I was so bored out of my mind. I could not understand what
this was. This was me for
I'm
the
just
first.
These people with blue.
With blue, and then there's so much.
And some...
So the thing is, because there was a long gap in between the two, right? And the movie itself is like 3 hours, 20 minutes. So for the first 2 hours, I just felt like I'm just seeing that my TV can show colors.
I feel like that's all that movies are about.
Like, listen, it's just, yeah, just to show you colors and screensavers, and
yeah,
that was it.
So
but the last
screenshots, you know.
Listen, the last bit, I was like, okay, this is good. But you can't sit me 2 hours, 45 minutes into a 3-hour movie before I'm finally hooked.
Yeah, that movie has never made sense.
So, yeah, that's...
Oh, my God. I regretted it when I watched that movie. Because the hype on it was so much that time. I felt like I was really missing out on something. And I really... I did not go into the movie expecting it to be bad.
Yeah, but
I
when
went
you
into
got
it
there,
like with all the high expectations that everybody
was making crazy noise. It won awards. It was one of the best highest grossing movies of all time.
See, I don't know if maybe I was not getting the storyline. No,
maybe
I don't know. Maybe there was something.
It's
I was
not.
Missing.
It's not that bad, but it's
yeah,
not great either.
That movie was boring.
Then
Jesus,
this week was a bad week for movies for me because I watched Creed,
okay,
part 3,
that was
very trash. It felt like somebody said, oh my God, let's make a movie, but you know what? All the interesting parts, let's just skip it. We just want to see men topless boxing.
LOL.
Like, it was so...
Is it the one with Jonathan Majors?
It is. Mm. Like, the story felt so rushed. So, the acting felt so par.
Yeah.
It just felt like if I wanted to just go and see topless guys, this is what I would have
That's
done.
That's what you do.
Yeah, and then, like, I didn't like it.
I've not watched it.
But yeah. I should also say something on this. Because AJ fought just recently. You people should leave professional boxers alone. These people are not human. Somebody woke up and decided for a living he'll be taking punches to the face, and you think that's who you want to challenge. I say this because if you see what he did to Francis Ngannou or something, bro, like, it was clear that this guy is not a boxer. So and now I'm saying this because Jake Paul wants to go and fight Mike Tyson.
I saw that.
He wants to fight Mike Tyson, Dolly. They say Mike Tyson that, what is it, like 44 wins by knockout or something. They say Mike Tyson, like, are you a child?
Yeah.
Next thing now, they punch him in the face. He goes into a coma. We have an issue. Like, leave professional boxers alone. My God. I saw videos of Mike Tyson practicing at his age. See how fast he is.
For real?
Dolly, I encourage you to watch it. If you see how fast his hands are moving at his age, I'm like, you know what? People should leave boxers alone.
I'm all the best, though.
Yeah, but there's a movie I want you guys to watch. It's called Talk to Me. So it says,
Talk to Me.
Yeah, it's an Australian indie movie, but it's very good. It's like horror.
I've been watching movies like this lately.
I've been watching movies. I've been reading. That's all I've been doing
what
with my time.
Reading?
Okay, let's get into it.
Okay.
I read the book you recommended.
Oh, wait, should I talk about my week first? And then
yeah, go on, go on. How was your
okay,
week?
My week was fine. Nothing much. I picked up the pace of my project management. I'm
nice.
Trying to finish that. I really want to finish that, like, on the ASAP. But it's been good. I think I'm
Where are you
attention.
Now? What module are you on?
So, I'm on the second course. The
Which
second
is,
module.
The first one is planning. What's the second one?
The first one is foundations.
Okay, foundations. Then
how do you know what it is?
Because I have it. I have a PMI certificate.
No, I mean the Google project. Yeah, I'm talking about the Google project.
No, I have the PMP one, but I'm sure it's not that different.
Anyway, this one is now about the initiation stage. Yeah, this one.
Okay. Yeah.
About so the planning. Well, no, the initiation.
Initiation.
Stage, the very beginning.
Yeah.
It's been good though. Google put a good program together.
Yeah, people keep raving about it.
Yeah, they put a good program together. It's engaging. It's, you know, it's interactive. They quiz you, they test you, and you can take it on your own pace. But
okay.
I don't want to drag it any much longer. So I've kind of found a way to up the pace a bit, and we're moving. What else again? It's been a...
Did you run?
I ran this week. Ran twice. I was supposed to do three, but didn't end up happening the way that way. But yeah, I ran this week. It was good. Man, I've been... Okay, maybe it's not time to talk about that. Okay. But yeah, it's been fine.
Okay.
Generally, it's been fine. My brain has been everywhere. I had a dream last night, and my dream, it felt like all my subconscious thoughts came out to play.
Mm. I don't remember what the dream was. That happens every now and then.
I don't even remember what the dream was, but I know that, all I know is that, I know that it felt like I was living in all the things I've been thinking about.
Okay. That happens.
Mm.
That happens. My dreams are, I told you my dreams last year were mad intense. Like, I was writing stories when I woke up. Bruh.
Madu. But yeah, it's been okay. Trying to remember if anything. I mean, Women's Day was yesterday.
Yeah, happy International Women's Day.
On Friday, the 8th. It was good. Oh, I went to Food Shack after we recorded last week.
Humor me, how much is the seafood bowl now?
I don't know. I didn't check. Okay. I wasn't trying to take the seafood bowl, but I didn't check. But it was really nice. Oh my God, it was so nice. While I was there with my friend, I ran into like a classmate of mine.
Secondary school. Mm.
Yeah, this is my second time seeing her. I've only seen her twice after secondary school. And it's just like I've ran into her.
Mm.
Like at most random time. That's how I ran into her. I was maybe like 2018 or 19.
Oh, nice.
And I ran into her again this last Saturday. And when I saw her, I was not even telling her that she had actually been on my mind because I know her birthday is Women's Day. So okay. I was like, oh, I was remembering that. She couldn't believe I remembered that. Then she was like, I told her that we had, you know, it's like, this is like second time we're running into each other. And she couldn't remember that we had run into each other. I said, yes, we ran into each other in Palms.
Oh.
You know? So, my God, but it was nice. It was nice to see her. She is Gen Z.
Oh, okay.
Even though she's like an older Gen Z, but she's like, in that Gen Z, like she is Gen Z. Like she is Gen Z. She just looks Gen Z. She feels Gen Z.
No, she feels Gen Z. She walks acts, Gen Z.
Yeah, like speaks, no, looks. Yeah, but she is not in a, like you can tell like she's like the old, like she's an older Gen Z, but she's still like very,
yeah,
like of that free spirited,
yeah,
nature. I like it for her. Even when I look on her Instagram, that's how it has been. It's like she's giving.
She's giving Gen Z
free. She's giving. Okay. Just enjoying doing new things. And I think that's what she was even doing there as well, that day. Just okay. Doing new things with new people.
That's yeah. Nice.
So, yeah, it was nice to see her.
Oh.
And nice to hang out with my friend. And we're just gisting all through. It was that's just good. Nice. And drinking cocktails.
Huh.
Cocktail.
Nice.
One.
Just one. Just one.
And then we ate. So.
That even reminds me, I've still not had alcohol 1 year plus now.
Do you want me to give you?
No, I feel like I'm better than everyone.
I feel elevated,
man. I feel like I have a clear head. But now I don't feel anything anymore. It just feels natural.
Mm,
yeah, it just feels, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that was it. That's really it. I don't have anything more to add.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Fair. Phil Collins
so you
gave said
his... you wanted to tell me about Lord of the Flies. So yeah. Go ahead. Tell me. How
before
did you
I even say
it?
That, I was going to say, sadly, Phil Collins did his last performance this week. Because, you know, he's sick. He has nerve damage, so he can't learn. He's a drummer, singer. You know Phil Collins now?
No. His name sounds familiar, though.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
Okay.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, him. You and me in paradise. Yeah, him. So yeah, that was very sad. But yes, I did read Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
One thing, all of you who keep telling me, oh my god, why are you just reading now? Shut up. secondly, I'm grateful I read it now. Because yeah. I feel like I understand it. I understand it better and I understand human nature better. And my god, what a book. Dolly, my mouth was open at the end. I was like, mm-hmm. Shit. Why did they kill?
So they dropped a stone. That for all the
Jesus Christ, I'm
you know
so
what?
Sorry.
Just you bleep out the name
I'll bleep
of
that
person.
Part out, guys. Yes. Sorry. But the book was really interesting. Mm-hmm. It showed our. So I'm reading this other book now, How to Think Clearly. And it talks about biases. And the book really showed what we call authority bias, where we as humans always want to be led. We want to look up to an authority. Mm-hmm. And naturally, once such a thing happens, we tend to take what they say as fact. I don't know if you've heard of the experiment where they were shocking people. I think you've told me about that.
Shocking.
Yeah, so like they get this guy into a room, he's an actor, and then they get a doctor that says keep applying, keep shocking the guy. So the people that are shocking don't know that it's fake, but the guy in there is actually reacting. So they all just keep pressing, even when they can tell you that this voltage will probably kill him if you continue. But because somebody else says continue, people keep doing it, right? So it's like an authority thing where people will always listen to authority regardless of what it is.
Interesting.
And that was what I sort of perceived from the book. It was almost like some people just want to lead, and some people will always gravitate towards such people. Whether what they are doing is right or wrong, as long as we perceive that we're part of a community, we sort of absolve ourselves of certain responsibilities. Mm. It was very interesting. And like you said also, then... I like that they use kids because that's raw humans. And it was interesting to see that we wouldn't have done differently if we're adults.
Absolutely. Right?
We probably would have done the whole thing at a faster pace. It might probably have been over like 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
But what we would have done would still have been the same, right? And we perceive... The way we see people also affects how we perceive their authority in a sense. So if somebody doesn't appear as what we think of as stereotypically strong, we just dismiss them.
Yeah.
Right? Like the guy who was saying everything that was right that they should do, but they didn't answer him because Ralph was like not on his side, even though they would say the same thing, but because he's not, you know, the same way, they wouldn't answer him, that type of thing. Even though everything he said was right, it was like they just discarded him because, you know. So that was interesting to see. Long I'm trying my best slides. Not to spoil it for
yeah,
people.
Yeah, trying not to spoil
but
it.
It is a very good book.
It
and
is.
I'm happy I read it now because even from some experiences I've had with humans, like leading groups, I could see certain things.
Absolutely. Let me tell you something. You know, it's so funny because, okay, as a Christian, I always find, and someone told me this years ago, but I was like, I don't think that's true. But I'm on the opinion that it's probably true, that everything you are seeking can find the answer inside the Bible. You see, as we're just talking right now, there was one scripture that was in my head when you were saying that humans yearn for authority or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about the verse that said something like, we all like sheep have gone our way.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking of ourselves as sheep.
Yeah.
We really are like sheep. Like that thing you said about authority just now, just like emphasize that for me. We want to be led.
Oh, we do.
We really do.
We really
and
do.
Unfortunately, sometimes it now is now dependent on who is leading you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lord of the Flies, it's interesting to me to see how that survival instinct
kicks in
so quickly. Even for children. You know, when I started watching Game of Thrones, and I watched this recently. So I watched Game of Thrones last year.
Yeah.
The full thing. And, you know, in the context of the normal life, we know that all children are so innocent. Oh my God, don't mess with kids. Like, you know, don't harm the kids. And yes, we are of that opinion. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
But when I was watching Game of Thrones, the very, very first episode,
we see
adults throwing a child down a tower. And I remember understanding from that very moment that, okay, this is not the kind of world you live in. In this world here, children are not thought of as children.
No, everybody is a means to an end.
General.
Everybody is a means to an end. A girl has no face. See what the girl was doing. She's not a child.
And you know what it made me understand is that, like, over the context of, like, several, like, you know, when the kind of world we live in now, you know, it's possible for all of that to be. But there are several contexts that have existed over time in this world that we live in where, no, a child might not always be considered. Like, it's crazy. But in this context of just children, like, one is an enemy.
Yeah.
One is not.
Yeah.
Like...
It's so hard to talk about it without spoiling it.
It's hard.
Like,
but
a lot of
I don't
things
remember
you're saying.
It, so there's nothing I'll really spoil for you. But
no, but a lot of what you're saying really, it's for me, what I really saw was just like that survival thing, the survival instinct, and just the fact that we will always absorb ourselves of responsibility as long as we're within a group.
No, it's like, yeah. Crazy.
It's an interesting book. I honestly recommend.
Yeah.
On a lighter note, I saw a thread that I want to read. It's quite old. You guys should bear with me. This is a bit this is a bit PG.
Oh god.
Yeah, it's an 18 plus thread. But I found it funny and I just felt since this is Women's Month, let me just read it. So the question was, women only, why did you smash once and never went back? So I saved some that I found really funny. The first one, he cried after coming. First of all, I don't see what's wrong with that.
Me neither.
The next one, swallowed the load and had a bad stomach ache and diarrhea.
Damn.
Be careful the kind of men you sleep with. I don't know what men are eating out there. I'm coming. The next one, the next day was my wedding, so I just wanted to be wild one
Jesus
last time.
Jesus Christ.
Now, this thing is more common than you guys might think, but I'll leave that for you.
I don't understand why people do. Anyway.
I mean, after that, you're getting married. Like, let's just leave it when I was single.
No.
You don't agree, have you?
Absolutely not. Let but me tell it, you. It's the last night. People always feel like they do things differently if, you know, they haven't crossed like a certain line. But yeah. No, like, if you are one way, you're going to continue to be that way. I'm sorry.
Well,
if
I mean,
before you're getting married.
Funny thing is, the next one I was going to read, the lady's response was, I decided to prioritize my marriage. So it might be more common than you think.
Yeah, but it doesn't make you right. It's crazy. It's ridiculous.
Well,
it's horrible. That's bad behavior.
I think it's, I don't know. I let's just move on.
You think it's what?
I don't think it's, I mean, it's, I'm getting married tomorrow. Let me get this out of my system.
Yeah, but like, I don't get it. Like, why you're still cheating on somebody?
Yeah, Deli, you're too serious about
no!
it. No, I get you, but
will you be okay with that?
Me? What? If my
if you
wife
heard that? Yes.
If I heard it, I'll
the
be
the night before your wedding.
Obviously, we're all humans. We're prone to hypocrisy. If I heard it, I might not react that much. In fact, I don't think I will, because I think I understand it, so I won't react that much. It will be painful, but I won't react that much.
I don't get it. Why would you be okay with it? Somebody intentionally.
It's the night before our wedding. Get it out of your system.
It seem like, oh yeah, I'm just getting out of my system.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal now.
Like, man, Isaac, the way you deal with certain things, it amazes me.
No, but it's, I'd rather you got it out of your system now than
no,
when we're married.
I'd rather, like, you should not have told me yes. I'd rather.
I'd rather you didn't tell me at
this
all.
Marriage thing.
Nah. You know we don't agree on all that. Let's move on. The next one. Question again. Women only. Why did you smash once and never went back? This lady said, "Oh, he fucked me too good. I couldn't let that repeat itself. Bruised my ego for real. Had me thinking of ways I wanted to please him." That one was funny because it's almost like it's always a competition with you guys.
Next, no, but I get what she's saying though.
You do.
Yeah, to an extent.
So if it's too good, you're like, nah.
Not necessarily, no. Not saying that's automatic for everything. I'm saying I understand what she's thinking.
Okay.
She probably was not trying to be with this person long term. It was probably
right.
Just like a one-time thing. And she realized that it's like a thing of like you're allowing your feelings to get too far. She caught herself quickly.
Right. Okay,
I
get
like,
it.
I can start to catch feelings for this guy.
Yeah, you can get, what's that thing they used to say? Dick whipped.
Yes,
and then
that's
gets,
pretty, yeah, she realized that she could get
I didn't think about it that way,
actually. That's really what it is. So if she was already feeling like,
she was
after
like,
that one,
yeah.
She's already thinking, oh my God, I'm already thinking of this. She was just like, I beg. Like,
carry
your
Allah, they go.
carry your problem.
Okay. Next one. Licked my forehead like an ice cream the whole time while in missionary. She was disgusting.
Oh my God,
so I pictured this and I'm like, oh my God.
She anyway. Ice cream. You're sweet like vanilla.
Well, imagine somebody licking your forehead.
I mean, maybe it was just part of the vibe.
I mean, you never know. Everybody is a freak until a real freak enters the room.
Then he's like,
exactly. next one. He kept saying shh, quiet mode every time we would stop to say something. Imagine yourself with someone like shh. Quiet mode.
I was saying quiet mode.
Yeah, that's what it was it.
Wow.
Next one. He moaned like a lady. Is there anything wrong with that?
I don't know.
Next one. He moaned in Ibibio.
In what?
Ibibio is a language. It's like moaning in Yoruba. Yeah. Next one. Spent the whole time looking for the hole. Ended up knotting on my thighs. How?
Looking for what?
The hole.
That's interesting.
That's like something that happens when you're like 16 for the first time and you're like, you're not sure where to put it.
What?
Anyway, two more. he wanted to use teeth to finish me for some reason best known to him. Only he kept moving left and right instead of in and out.
Interesting.
As a man, your first impression really matters. Anyway, the final one that actually made me really talk about this is somebody said he came on my stomach and licked it off, blocked him. Is it that reaction you just had? I think that's what the whole internet had. But again, everybody is a freak until a real freak comes into the room. You don't like the idea?
Yeah, that might turn me off too.
Really?
Kind of, yeah.
Personally, I try not to kink shame, but it was a bit like, that's a freaky...
That might turn me off too. That might turn me off. I don't get it.
I don't get it.
I really don't.
I know what you mean.
That's so strange.
It is actually a strange thing to do.
It's very strange.
It's a very strange thing to do. Why? But I had a conversation with someone and she said, but if we're all talking about swallowing, then what does it matter who does it?
See, let me tell you something. There is no equality in anything. Let me just tell you. I wish that we can all just come to just accept this once and for all.
There's no equality.
No. We can talk about... within certain contexts, there are things that like would disgust you with one person and will not with the other. We don't even treat people equally. Let's be real.
If you take
You know how people are always saying, there was one I saw the other time that if a guy, someone was saying that, this is just an example, this is not really the one I'm trying to, but I saw it recently, so it's in my brain. Someone was saying that, don't guys understand that if a guy that enters their DMs, maybe we just start talking and you say, send me your pictures, that is a turn off. And truly, I understood what she was saying. Yes, it can be like, it, especially if I have pictures on Instagram, like, go and look. It can be a turn. But then someone else say, hey, well, if you like the guy, probably not, you won't act like that. On a general basis, that thing is a turn off. However, truly, if you like somebody,
and they ask,
it might not necessarily be like, and this is just the example. You can think of so many other types of examples. My whole point is that with certain things, we can accept, like, it is acceptable to your world. Certain things not. So, no, not with swallowing. It does matter, my sister. It does. It really, really does. It's really, really, I don't want to be, no, you're not swallowing your own.
I know, it's wild. I'm trying my best to be not kink shaming, but it's a wild.
Let me tell you, let me not lie to you. And you can kink shame me too. See, it's not everything that all of us were all.
Well, I get it.
Do you get what I'm saying? I know we all try to be all open minded and but more, something
past that room.
Just be like, yeah, no.
No. Like, chief, please, no.
Like, please, I beg.
Wait, let me see. Not sex, but he was chewing my nipple like granite in the mouth of a bricklayer.
Why?
I've heard a lot of women complain about this thing where they chewed. I don't know how you do that. It's just nasty. He knotted in my eyes and I almost went blind. I had to use eye drops for 2 days.
Oh my god, that reminds me of the episode of Insecure. Oh my god, did you ever watch Insecure?
No, I didn't.
Missed out on premium.
You said so.
Premium content.
Did they knot in someone's eye?
Oh my god, they knotted in Issa's eye. Like, She not had pink eye. She was not carrying the eye. She was not doing the eye. She was so pissed off. Even though it was a mistake, but still, nah, that thing, it just changed the trajectory of it. You know, she was trying to be bad. Like, you know, she was so deep in her whole face at the time. Almost just then as she's carrying her eye, still disgusted about what happened. She's getting Uber, that one that you share. She now enters into it. They say Issa. Then I say something like Issa, something like it's a party or something stupid like that. Like, the baby's already irritated. Then you're not using her name to play.
But you know, in fairness, right? It is crazy. Like, how do you explain that to people? That what's wrong with your eye?
So let me tell you, it was a discussion on Twitter, like when that episode came out.
Okay.
And that was one of the reasons why I loved Insecure during its run. Insecure is such a relatable show, especially for people that are in their young adults and stuff, because it's things that they are experiencing with dating, career.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The thing with career too, like I feel Issa so much, especially now at my age. Issa was 29 on the show.
Yeah.
When it started, and it felt like her career was not good anyway. And oh my God, I feel like Issa right now. But anyway, that's by the by. But I'm just saying that it's really good. If you've never watched Insecure, guys, you guys should watch it. A lot of things to talk about.
Okay.
So yeah, okay. Oh
I definitely
God.
Will. Sorry, last one. He moaned too much because 100% I knew I wasn't even doing anything severe to warrant such noise.
I can imagine that.
So definitely knew he was a liar and a thief.
Yeah, I can imagine that. She's
like, bro, what are you doing? I'm not doing anything.
I know that I'm not that great. Like right now, like anyway.
Yeah, I think that's all I have here. But yeah, why did I even save this? I wanted to just say that, yeah, you guys should do better. You guys should all do better, both guys and girls. But yeah.
All right, do you want to say your AP before I read the messages that we have?
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I said I was reading this book, How to Think Clearly. So, my AP this week is that we should all be careful of survivorship bias. Right, so basically the guy says spend more time in graveyards because it helps you understand like failure better. Right, so survivorship bias is basically like we constantly look at success and think that there are things that we can pick from successful people that are really valid across board. So for context, you've probably seen 5 things successful people do, 10 things that entrepreneurs do, blah 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 blah. But the whole idea of it is that we in society, we amplify success stories more than failures. So people have an unnatural ability to think that they are closer to success when in reality, you're closer to failure than actually succeeding. So if you wanted to take podcasting, for instance, you probably look at Joe Rogan or really popular people and think, come on, let me start my podcast and I'll make it. But you forget that for every one person that is successful, there are like a million people that have failed. So naturally, as humans, we significantly overestimate our chances of success. So yeah. I think you guys should really, really, really pay attention to that. There was a quote I saw, it was not really a quote, where the guy was like that stories of failures aren't interesting unless it's a successful person that failed. So we always tend to listen to luckily for us, Nigerian elites don't really tell you much. But in other countries...
Oh, no, but right, we see it on the gram.
Yeah, we see it on the gram. So we are naturally going to be drawn to a successful person or a group of successful people and think that that's what it is for everybody. But just be aware that most times, like professional footballers, basketballers, music, anything, you only see the successful people. So if you keep taking their stories, it's just one side of things. So yeah. And I also recommend the book for you guys too, How to Think Clearly. Really, really good book. Sorry, The Art of Thinking Clearly, rather. Yeah.
Okay, that's dope. Let me ask you one question. You know, I told you that some of these questions that we discussed. Let me ask you one question.
Hit me.
Imagine your future self as a different person, and they come to you and thank you. What would they be thankful for?
Wait, say that again.
Imagine your future self. As a different person.
Okay.
And they come to you and thank you.
Okay.
What would they be thankful for?
What would they be thankful for? My future self. So, is this like 50-year-old Isaac thanking
comes
me now?
Comes to you now. Yeah. And they're thanking you. What are they thanking you for?
I think they would thank me for being disciplined and pushing through even the toughest times. Because of late, I've been thinking a lot about what is really keeping me going, like why I'm still pushing through. And it's not been easy, but there's, you know, I was saying it last week, there's this idea that eventually I'll find peace. So I think the future me will thank me for pushing through these times, like just for being patient with myself and being disciplined and pushing through the toughest times.
Yeah.
I think that's what future me will thank me for, or a future version, for
that's
pushing
good.
Through.
That's
because it's not easy.
It's not though.
It's really difficult, but pushing through.
Yeah,
that's a deep question, man.
It is, I know.
Jesus.
Right? I know.
Wow. Right? What will your answer be?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like if I were a different person, obviously we'll all change. But I think the thing that changes me most, especially if I've observed my life, is probably my relationship with God.
Okay.
A lot of things I start to think about. And I'm thinking about my life and the changes to make. And it's all based, it's all coming from there.
Okay.
So I feel like I'll be thankful that I continued on the path and I stayed on the path. Because there are times right now in my present where I feel a bit of regret that I came to the knowledge of Christ kind of like, I mean, it's not late, obviously. But
later but than I you would have wanted.
Later, yeah, I feel like I would have avoided a lot of things that I, you know, got into.
And
I feel like I would have avoided them and it won't be like issues now. So, but again, I try not to think about that too much as a regret. You know, it happened when it happened. But still, I think that that is the one thing I can foresee myself being thankful for, like continuing on that relationship, spending time, you know, and make out time to read my Bible every day is very important to me. And I think it has changed me a lot. Pray every day too. So, yeah. Okay, all right. So let me read the messages. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the first one is from a guy. A woman. She says, "Hi, Dolly and Isaac. How are you guys doing?"
Fine. No, thank you for asking.
Thank you. I love the podcast and thank you for being such amazing hosts. I haven't been feeling so good lately, and I hope writing to you guys will help. Excuse me. I promise to not make this a long read.
You people should be making a long read.
As in name.
Please.
I studied a course I hated in university and I didn't see a career path for me there. So I decided to learn a tech skill.
Okay.
I did product design and product management for a while until I finally decided to settle for product design.
Okay.
After many months of learning and looking for jobs, I was finally able to land my first job as a product designer at a startup.
Okay.
It wasn't a great experience. The company had so many red flags. I didn't enjoy working from home. The pay was also shitty.
Mm.
Eventually, I left the job last year, December. Since then, I've been very broke and unemployed. Every day, I keep wondering if product design is my path and I'm getting demotivated. I've also tried applying to plenty bank graduate jobs and I keep getting rejected. Job hunting is truly the ghetto. Yesterday, I decided to sign up for another course in cybersecurity.
Okay.
And I can't help but feel like I'm giving up on product design after all the work I put into it. I'm also scared it might be a waste of time because entry-level positions in tech are very hard to come by. I wanted to hear from you guys. Do you think it would be wise to make a switch now? I'm turning 25 in July and I really hoped I would have career stability by now. Oh my God, sis. I was going to at first give Isaac the room to answer this first, but there were certain things that she said at the end that, like, I just wanted to, like, just chip in really quick.
Go on. First of all,
I feel you when it comes to that whole thing about career stability. I've been feeling like that a lot lately. It's one of the things that has been on my mind, actually. I've been thinking about that. You know, I just mentioned, like, Issa, like, from Insecure, like, when she started the show, when she started on the show, you know, the character.
Yeah.
When we first started the show, she's 29 years old and she pretty much is in a situation, a job situation that she's not particularly, maybe once she used to have passion for it once, she doesn't really have much passion for it anymore. Doesn't really know where she's going. She's kind of broke.
Yeah.
Very broke.
Yeah.
Everybody around her seems to know what they're doing. Everybody around her seems to know where they're going with their life.
Mm-hmm.
She's very confused.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that right now, presently in my life. Do you understand? I feel very much that way. I take comfort in knowing that at the end of the show, Issa figured
it. She figured it out.
Yes.
Okay.
And she was in her 30s at that time. So I say all this to say, first of all, that I feel you. First, I can relate to you completely. And I don't think that it is. I think it is something that at this age we think about. You know, when you're in your 20s, you're already thinking about that. But I've been hearing something. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit that has been saying to me. I've been hearing it for like the last few days and I don't know where this came from. Maybe it's from, again, all the thoughts that I've been saying, he's been responding to it. I've not paid attention to it very much.
Okay.
But it's been there at the back of my mind. And what I heard say is that, you know that, like, you can switch at any point in your life.
Mm.
That's what I've been hearing.
Okay.
Right. I say this to say that if it's at 25, you want to make a switch. I want you to understand that this life is a
marathon.
It's short though, but it's also long.
A sprint.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Which means that there's people that have made career changes at different points in
true.
Their life. Don't feel like there is anything wrong with that in making a career change. You can get to a certain point in your life and you feel like, okay, this might work better for me now. This might not work better for me now. Or maybe this is something interesting.
Yeah.
Don't feel limited. And you're 25, so you're still very young. And
yeah.
you can definitely make career switches
yeah.
if necessary. So that was what I wanted to like kind of like respond to.
Okay.
Generally with the whole thing, man, I don't know if I should say, I understand like where you're coming from. It's like with the job hunting and everything, I don't want you to completely give up on product design. Personally, I don't think you should completely give up on it. You've worked very hard on it.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that this is also coming from a place of you just trying to like figure out
just
your
to survive,
space
basically,
yeah. Yes, and a survival situation. And I think that all those things, it's a valid situation,
yeah.
especially
yeah.
in the kind of country that we're in now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just think that in a sense, if you feel like cybersecurity works for you at this particular point in time, I think you can make that switch, but I don't think you should also like completely give up on it. I still feel like you can still be looking for work with product design
while learning
like cybersecurity yeah. and just doing, maybe if you're feeling demotivated with it now, maybe you can just take a little break from it while still like trying to get yourself excited about it again.
Makes sense.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
While also like searching other things. So I feel like where you are at now is just trying to find something that sticks. And I admire the fact that like you take all these steps,
yeah.
like you're learning courses, you take the time to learn, you take the time to whatever. So think about it as like you are like a residential like doctor.
Okay.
And you are learning all the different things. And one moment, general surgery seems great to you. The next thing you know, you're feeling drawn towards, you know, gynecology. And, you know, another time you're feeling drawn towards neuro.
Yeah.
You know, this is all from Grey's Anatomy.
I hate you people that watch that show.
I don't even watch
you
it anymore because I've given up. But I'm just, this is my memory of it.
Yeah.
So it's, you're kind of like trying to find what sticks, and that's okay. Just keep on learning, keep on growing. If you're not finding the opportunities you're looking for, product design, maybe you can make the switch, but don't like completely give up. You know, sometimes job hunting is very hard.
This is sometimes.
No, sorry, I wasn't trying to say
yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going somewhere, but job hunting is very hard. It's not easy, and I know how you feel. And even though it might seem impossible to enter tech, it still happens. You know, nothing's impossible, really.
Well.
So Isaac,
that covers most of it. I was just going to say I've mentioned this a long time ago on the pod. We need to always think about the competence versus confidence chart, I believe it is, where before you start doing something, you think you'll be good at it. When you start it, it's not really going to be that easy. So the way the world is right now is tough. Job-wise, regardless of what career you're looking at, is tough. So I think you should give yourself a gestation period where you like actually stick with this thing, because no matter how good you are at something, if you're switching careers, you need it to take a while before you become competent, which would then lead to more money.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're 25, you just got the product designer stuff at a startup, so you're probably still in like your early years within the product space. So give yourself time to grow and learn with that. Yes, jobs might not be easy to come by, but don't constantly change direction without giving yourself a period to grow. So like Dolly said, you might look at cybersecurity now and think like, oh, you know, is this something I should switch to? But your why should be very important. Are you switching because you think there'll be jobs there? Are you switching because, oh, I think there'll be more money there? Are you switching just purely out of frustration and it looks like shiny new thing syndrome, where there's just something next that I should do that looks better? So settle down and understand your why, but give yourself time to, you know, grow and to learn and to use your product knowledge. Mm-hmm. But another thing that I should also mention is the idea of the stereotypical idea of a career is changing right now for our generation. So we might not have people who are doing 20, 30 years of one thing anymore. The idea of career is changing. So we should focus more on competence and verifiable results. Does that make sense? So mm-hmm. if you do like product, for instance, give yourself time to be able to say, this is my track record in product mm-hmm. before you start switching to something else, just so you can have time to actually grow with something. Because mm-hmm. it's really easy these days to switch, because everybody will tell you, oh, the next thing making money now is content or cybersecurity or tech or coding or whatever. But pick one thing. And you said 10,000 hours, right, to get good at something. Mm-hmm. So give yourself time to be good and to show that you're good. And then while still, you know, getting better, you can also consider switching. But seeing that, I think your age should not be something that should matter to you at this point.
Yeah.
The whole turning 25 in July and all that. Bro, how old are we? Have we found career stability? So, it's not so age should not be a factor in terms of this kind of things. Try to let your patience and competence and just give yourself time to go.
To be honest, it's hard for you not for it not to feel
it
like
is, but I'm it saying is. It shouldn't be. Try not
no,
to make
it really
it,
shouldn't. No,
yeah,
no,
try
no,
not
agree,
to make
I
it.
I agree with you that it shouldn't be. It's just it can just be really hard. Even for me, it's still hard. Like I just try to talk to myself and get out of that space, but it's still it feels difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just feels like, man, what's up?
Yeah, and also self, generally in the world over now, there's an unemployment crisis. So don't be too hard on yourself. If you look at any job that you apply for now, there are at least 10,000 people that are applying for the same thing. So if banks keep rejecting you and all that, just keep putting your best foot forward. You can't actually
you can also
stop.
Just look around and see where else you can
apply
carry your use to. Because sometimes you might be able to apply those. It might not look like it, but you might be able to apply those skills to something else. What they taught us in Google Project Management is that you can look at the job roles or maybe 10 companies that have what you're looking for.
Okay.
Look at what they are looking for, their requirements. And then just maybe go to some other companies. I can't remember the way they broke it down, but you'll go to maybe some other companies and see which have the same type of
roles.
Requirements.
Yeah.
Because they might go by a different name.
Name, right, right.
That's
right,
the whole
right,
point.
Right, right.
You might be looking at something somewhere and you might see the name and you might think that, oh, that's not my kidney. But if you go through the requirements,
the
you realize that
same.
It's stuff that you can do. It's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
So try and figure out what else not to say you might not have already done this, but if you haven't, maybe you can look for what else they in the field they can call product design or what else can come mm-hmm. under that. And, you know, it might not just be, again, it might not necessarily have to be only banks.
Yeah,
you know, especially since everything is now so online and cloudy and techy these days,
bro. I feel like
so even a coffee shop might even require your services.
You, I feel like these days, self is only tech that they are employing for on the internet. But another thing to do to say is, I understand when there's no money, you're under extreme pressure. So try and still make informed decisions. Don't panic. It's hard, but I think a lot of this pressure comes from the fact that, oh my god, I don't have money, I don't have a job. So try and just be easy on yourself.
Yes, please. Thank you for messaging us. We hope it goes well for you.
Quickly, let me just say that I put out a form on our link. So the one that we mentioned last week, we want to write in your finance stories, your relationship with money. We're doing an episode on that soon. And then the group that I wanted to start for finance people, there's also a link there. Funny enough, people have signed up with some interesting questions, and I'm just there God, now I have to go back to reading. But feel free to sign up on notes. Trust me, Dolly, if you see the questions people are asking, I'm like, bruh. how am I meant to know this? Trust me, macro and microeconomics and finance and it's interesting because I do realize I like learning. So
really,
if you
an
want
academic.
To, I really am. I'm just fighting it.
Just embrace it at this point.
Eventually, the PhD is coming. Eventually,
eventually.
All right, so the next message is from, okay, prefer not to say, okay, said, today one of your listeners who put me on this podcast is turning 30.
Oh, wow.
March 10th, so that's when the episode will be out.
Wow.
So wish Aisha a happy 30th birthday.
Happy birthday,
Aisha.
Happy
birthday, girl. Happy 30th.
I know, right?
We should host you now for an episode of
Exactly. Write in and let us know when we can have you. let's walk through your 30s.
But
20s,
thank you
rather.
For being our ambassador all day. Put someone out onto our pod. And I know that that's not the only person. I just can't
for
see
sure.
that it's not the only person you have put on.
For
so
sure.
Thank you so much, sis.
Damn, our listeners are getting older.
I appreciate you guys as in...
Wow.
As in, I appreciate you. You too now.
Guy,
29
is
29 is
knocking.
You be the same age as Isari on that show.
Guy is knocking. It's not like the anxiety. You know, we'll do a whole episode on that later, but probably because of my... lack of income right now, the anxiety around my age, my God. Like, I look around now and I'm like, bro, you're doing a podcast telling people to calm down. Yes, but you're not calm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not calm. Hey,
you're not calm.
I ain't gonna lie to you.
Like,
I'm not
there
calm.
Is serious anxiety in the air. Wow. A year ago, I wouldn't have thought this way, but now?
Yeah.
Bruh. The other day, I went to buy something and while I was paying, I was looking around and I was like, I wonder how old every other person here is. I wonder how they're figuring out their own stuff. Oh my God, Isaac, what are you doing? Like, you know when you almost have a breakdown, but then they're like, sir, your card, creditor, I'm saving so current. I'm just there like, wait, savings. And I'm like, where is your mind, bro? But yeah, heavy anxiety these days, man. Heavy anxiety.
Well, it is well, though.
Ah, my sister, we no get choice.
Okay, so you guys, we'll try and like get through this topic as quick. Let me even set a timer, you know, so we're not talking about it too much. Let me
what,
know if
we're talking about again. Oh yeah, before we break down,
okay. So I've come to understand. I think I said this last week that one of the things that God had been trying to help me understand is that I am too dependent on the familiar, or too used to the familiar. So. Funny story, you know the story of Lot's wife,
the one that looked back and talked to Salt.
Yeah, I was thinking about it recently and I was like, could I have been a Lot's wife? And let me tell you why. Like, I was thinking about, like, I was really deep in it because, you know, sometimes when we see some of, like, these characters, like, it's so easy to be like, man, why did you look back?
Of course,
why did you look back?
Of course,
yeah. But, and I mean, in the context of what was really going on, truly, on one hand, I'm like, girl, they came to come and tell you that they're about to destroy this place. Like, even if maybe you do not believe, like, okay, something like this is going to happen. I mean, these niggas were trying to enter your house.
Yeah.
Right? And it's then wild. They turned them blind. So, I mean, you know that these guys, they mean business. They mean business. Mm-hmm. They are serious, right? And they say, nigga, run and don't look back. I mean, in that context, I want to believe that. I mean, I'll be scared enough to be like, "Omo, man, no look." But then at the same time, I also now ask myself this, and I'm like, I wonder why she looked back. We don't know why.
I tell you for free, I would have looked back. I would not even have gotten to where she got to before I look back. Bro, you're telling me to leave everything I know.
I mean,
and
yeah,
I should not look back.
Much.
I would dolly for free. I'd have looked
and
back.
And I thought, you know, I like that.
As
you
soon
said
as
that.
I closed the door, I'd have looked back.
I like that.
Like, I'd have frozen in front of my house. What? Nah.
I like that you said that because that's real, you know. And I thought to myself as well that, like, I feel like a lot of wife a lot of times because I feel like it's hard sometimes for me. And I've been trying. This week, I think, has just been diving into like my whole thoughts about where my fear of change, because I was trying to piece it all together and I was like, okay, it's very clear that I don't like change very much. And I don't like change. That's so we want to talk about our relationship with change. Let me just present that.
Yeah.
I've realized that, like, I don't like change a lot. I never thought that I had a problem with change because I think I'm pretty adaptable. Right? Like, if a situation, I might not be comfortable, but eventually I would adapt, right? So because of that, I always thought to myself that, okay, maybe I don't really have a big problem with change. I mean, I also know that change is necessary.
Yeah.
You understand? I know it's necessary, but recently I was thinking that I hold on to a lot of things.
Mm.
And it's not even just, I think I said this last week, that it's not even, not just even relationships with people, but information, documents,
yeah,
notes. Like I said, I was just only recently clearing my notes.
Mm-hmm.
Like documents, notes, like everything, like every time. And even now, there's still some notes that I didn't delete. Not because they don't need to be deleted, but again, I still look at it and I'm like, okay, maybe there might be something for this, mm-hmm, later.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Some use. So you're like a hoarder.
Yes, I'm a hoarder of information. I think I've said this before. Yeah. Like I hoard it in my mind. I hoard, if I'm used to like a relationship with a person, it's very hard for me to like break out of that. I just don't know how to adjust.
Okay.
I feel like I'm one of those people that I need to be forced into change.
They have to flog you, Abby.
Pretty much. Like, they have to push me into it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that God has given me that grace many times. But I also think that I might have missed out on certain things.
Like
because of that, yeah. Because, you know, sometimes you're not always going to be a baby at all times. Like, mm-hmm, I think like God realized that sometimes you need to take your own steps,
mm-hmm,
as well. And not just always be waiting to be pushed in.
Mm.
You know, but so thank him for his grace with certain things, but with everything. But even with those things, like, I have to, like, be, if not, I would. And I've been so nervous about that lately.
So you're opposite to the guy that was at the pool.
Which guy?
That wanted to get in, but he couldn't.
So, you know, real talk, when you, mm-hmm, really look at that story very well, the guy was also in the same situation that, like, am I being now? He knew he wanted change, right?
No, but his is different.
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
So the way you pay at, if you, so we studied this story many times.
And oh, same. I studied on, like, it then. So
the even over the years, because even in my mind, I always thought that the guy wanted to get in, but it was clear that he just couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But even when Jesus approached him and asked him, do you want to be healed? That, mm-hmm, was the question.
Yeah.
The first thing that came out of his mind, of his mouth was, you know, every time I'm trying to like get into the water. Yeah,
you didn't answer the question.
No, yeah, because in a certain way, he has been in this same place. Imagine if you've been waiting for change of something so much, but you remain in the same space.
Mm.
He had been lame for 38 years and had been there for years.
Mm.
And nothing has changed. You say you want to be pushed into the water. Nobody wants to carry you. On The Chosen, I love the way they depicted it. They depicted it in the sense that, so fine, initially he was trying to get into the water. He was trying to get into the water, trying to get into the water, because in his mind, he wanted to be sure that, yeah, something has to be happening in this water. But then over the years go by and by, and it's almost like he kind of like loses hope in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So he acts like he's trying to get into the water.
Yeah.
But he kind of doesn't think he's going to get in it.
Yeah, so.
So he just says, okay, yeah, I'm trying. He tells himself that he's trying.
But he's not really.
But not really.
Mm.
He's just.
So. Mm.
So I feel like that is how I am with a lot of things.
Okay.
Like, I'm so scared of change. And I try to go back and think, like, when did this happen? When did I start being nervous about risk change? Risk averse. Yeah, and I think it has been there for a very long time, since when I was a child.
Mm.
I don't know exactly what started it, but I think it's also tied into like anxiety and fear. Mm. And I realized recently this week that for me, the goalpost never stops moving. Like when I was younger, I used to be so anxious about my mom's whereabouts. It was so strange. I don't know why.
Mm.
But I'll be very nervous. She will go to the office. I'll be calling like how many times a day, because I was paranoid that something was going to happen.
Okay.
Always paranoid. I would walk to the cyber cafe. I'm online. I'll leave the house. I won't tell anybody.
Now, some people don't know what that is.
I will leave the house. I won't tell anybody.
Yeah.
If maybe the phone, the telephone, the no airtime or whatever.
Yeah.
And mom say I don't call. It was almost like I would leave. Sometimes there was a day I even went to the main road.
Yeah.
Because the cyber cafe that I wanted to go to was not open or something stupid like that. I even went without money. I used childlike behavior to say they would pity me, you know. And then since then, nothing, if it's not, I stopped being anxious about that.
Mm-hmm.
Started being anxious about something else.
Mm. So you've just always
I have
been,
always been so in your, a hamster wheel of anxiety.
Yeah, so your anxiety then affects your perception of change.
I think
the fear
so.
Is always there. Mm.
I think so.
You know, okay. For me,
mm-hmm.
my relationship with change is my problem, I think, is bigger than change itself. My problem with change is that, I think I've mentioned this before, I'm realizing now that I try to change at my own terms, mm-hmm. or I try to really live at my own terms, and sometimes it's wrong. It's like, there is a time where you should do something, but I'll be like, maybe out of fear or something, I'm like, no, I'm not ready yet, let me wait for the perfect moment to then do it. Like, I will do it eventually, but right now,
mm-hmm.
I'm not ready. And I think that's sort of my relationship with change. I'm always open to change, but I tend to have a problem with timing. I want it to be
perfect.
When I'm ready. I want the perfect moment. And it's something that I think a couple of years ago, I started to realize that was a problem I had,
yeah.
where I was always hesitating on decisions because I wanted to be ready. I wanted to be in the perfect moment to
yeah.
actually get this thing. And when I started reading more about it, I realized that in itself is a form of fear.
Yeah.
Right? It's a form of lack of self-belief, in a sense, where you always want things to be done at the perfect moment. You always
mm-hmm.
think that you have to be ready
yeah.
for things to be done at the perfect moment. And I'm trying to think back as to why that happened. I think maybe because a lot of my life I've lived alone, so I've had to figure out things alone, right? I left from, like, I went to secondary school and it was boarding, and from there, uni and all that stuff. So I've lived majority of my life on my own, and I think I've done well so far.
Mm.
But it could have been better if I had realized that I had this problem, right? Where it was like, let's make a leap of faith. I have a problem with making a leap of faith. I have to calculate my leap of faith. Do you get? Like, I'm always looking at... I'll give an example. When I wanted to, when I finished my first degree, before I went to do my master's, that summer, my parents were like, okay, now is a good time to go to Canada, right? And settle down, you finish with the UK, you have your degree, blah, blah, blah. And at the time, I was like, maybe not, you know, let me just, because I'm here, let me just get my master's here, and then, you know, because I already know the system, and then it's already easy, it's straightforward. I have friends here, everybody I know is here. Then after that, I'll leave. And my mom was like, why don't you just want to go? Like, it's okay to, you know, start over and all that. And I was like, I hear you, like, it's true, but think about it this way, you know, I've been here for how long? Let me just do it. Then blah, blah, blah. And in retrospect, it was purely out of, oh my God, everybody I know is here. All my life
is here. It's
cultural
issues.
And
I don't say that like as judgmental.
No, I know.
It's the same with me.
It is. It's like
control
I want
issues.
To control the, not like I want to always control the outcome, but I want the downside to be as little as possible. So I make a lot of crazy, when I started working, right, in Lagos, there was a job offer, I think, when Dotun came on the pod, we were talking about the Ajiti. And part of the reason why I didn't take it, even until today, Dotun still fights with me about it. He's like, bro, you would have been a damn good banker. But I, at that time, I was like, so for context, when we're doing the training school and all that, they already made me, by unanimous thing, they already wanted me to be the like president and all those kind of things. Even the people teaching us then were like, bro, there's something about you and blah, blah, but... There was something about me where I was like, bro, I've never done banking before. I'm not sure I can do this. So what did I do? I told everybody every reason why this was not the right time for me to do it. And then I left. But it was purely out of the fact that on the other side of this is something I've never done. This is a huge change. I just finished my master's in engineering. And people want me to switch into this. And I remember one of the... this ED at the time that interviewed me, she was telling me like, oh, you won't be here for long. And it's not because you won't be good at it. It's because she was asking me a lot of questions before like we got to this point. And I couldn't like answer them properly. And she was like that, you haven't figured out what you want yet. Even though you'll be good at this, but you haven't figured out what you want yet. And in retrospect, all those things are just like, this idea of change. For me, if the outcome is too, like, if it's a new outcome, if it is like something that a lot of things are unknown, right? I probably wouldn't do it. And it makes sense as to why probably I'm not an entrepreneur the way that other people are. Because there are some people that are okay with like change and risks and all that. Like, unless I know that, okay, my bases are covered, I don't take risks.
So you play safe?
No, I don't play safe. I play
calculated safe.
Yeah.
Safety.
Like, I would do it though. Like, if they say, oh, come, let's go and rob a bank, right? For like, just as an example, if they say, come, let's go and rob a bank. If I know that, okay, I have an uncle that will bail me out at the end of this, and I know that the getaway car is fine, I'll go. But I just won't go just because they said that type of thing. I just have to know that my bases are covered.
It's still kind of safe.
It is. but my bases have to be covered before I do anything.
Because you're making sure there's security.
Exactly. The downside.
I get that. Me too. I take a lot of comfort in security, and I think that's the problem. I just prefer to be comfortable. Like, I don't prefer to be comfortable. I just want to be in a comfortable situation where my mind, my body, and my everything is just in a place of comfort. But I also realize that sometimes you need to get to uncomfortable places. But I just don't know how, because like I feel like I've been burned on so many fronts.
Okay.
Right. That I think it just easier for me to just be in a place where like it's a controllable situation. It's not good.
It's not.
I'm beginning to realize it's not good.
If you live life from this position of safety, you probably won't do a lot that you should do.
Probably not. I don't like it. It worries me. It bothers me. I definitely want to do things that are more uncomfortable. I don't know. I every now and again I've done some of those things, but still, it's still like I have some deep rooted stuff when it comes to change and security and anxiety. I think they are all linked together.
True. Do you feel like it has a lot to do with our environment as well? Like, Nigeria doesn't encourage you to take risks.
I don't know if it has to do with Nigeria, to be honest. Okay. I mean, I won't be surprised if it has like a part to play. I mean, I'm sure that it's included somewhere in there. You know, maybe if my parents were raised differently in a different country, in a different context, they might have. Because my mom, I mean, she's not quite as she used to be anymore. But my mom was a very anxious person. And I feel like because she was anxious, it transferred not just to me, but to me and my siblings. She was very anxious, very like,
your mom was those ones that you are at the airport early, Abby.
Oh my God, absolutely. My mom has traumatized me when it comes to airport travel now. I have to get there on time. I have to, like, I'm always checking that I have everything constantly. Even if I know that I have it, I'm constantly checking that I have it. You know, I mean, I understand she was always traveling with three kids by herself. Yeah. Of course, it was a
The blow. Cost of mistakes was high.
Very high. You know, I get it. It's just, it's a lot. And so it's all tied there together. And I'm praying to God. I've been asking the Holy Spirit to tell me the truth about myself, because I found that we lie to ourselves a lot.
How so?
Sometimes you want to convince yourself that a situation is not what it is.
Oh, okay. You tell yourself everything but the truth. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's the same example as what I was telling you about when we were talking about the man at the pool.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you asked him, he will tell you he has been trying his best.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
But if you ask yourself the real truth, if you really, really want to sit down and be honest with yourself, speak the truth in your heart. What is the real reason why I'm doing this, or why I'm acting like this, or why I'm behaving like this? If you really ask yourself the truth, it might shock you, but it will help you. Because, and we don't do enough of that. We lie to ourselves because it's easier. Sometimes you don't just want to just admit that, you know, like that is the truth. It's almost like how a person can mess up a relationship and they will just say that it just wasn't working out.
It's easier to say that I'm an issue here.
Yeah.
I have a problem.
It's easier to say that than to say that I messed up.
True. You know, the thing with change is that anything that is new is just human instincts. We don't really like.
But you know what's so funny? There are people who run into change.
Oh, yeah, there are.
Some people are so excited about change. Some people look for it. Some people search it. Some
those
are so
those are people
like
that are, what do you call them now? They are usually the people who tend to find success again because they are always so quick to jump at new things, to jump at new opportunities. The whole change thing, as long as you're comfortable with something, it's hard to take on a new idea. We even see it with biases, with how we think, with what we feel, with all these kind of things. As long as you're comfortable with something, any new idea that comes, it takes a lot of self-awareness to be open to it. Even with us as people, like, look at how, think about it career-wise, think about it, like, even food-wise, you see Nigerians that would travel abroad and still seek out only Nigerian food.
That is me.
That
and
one
this,
I can't
this,
do.
This already, like, that just paints a picture of the kind of person that
I can't and do. It's a bigger thing. Like, you see people who, regardless of where they go, regardless of the mindset of where they are, they hold what they believe, and that is it.
It's just comforting. And it's comforting, but sometimes you need to, like, be out of that place.
No, you have to. You have
but
to.
But it's hard.
This is why you go skydiving, you become an adrenaline
junkie.
It is
very hard.
It is.
It is very hard. You're putting yourself out there in a way that you're because everything in yourself is disagreeing with it.
Yeah.
Your mind is disagreeing with it.
Yeah.
Your body is disagreeing with it. You are afraid. You are scared. That's me. Like, it's like the same thing with the thing of food. It's not like I'm afraid. It's just, I feel like eating jollof.
Yeah.
I just do.
Hmm.
It will make me full.
Yeah.
And I would enjoy it.
Yeah.
Do I want to take the risk of eating something that I will pay money for and I would not enjoy it?
Yeah.
But it is not the adventurous thing because I ate jollof yesterday.
You know, a good point here to use, right, would be, I like how you've explained that. For me, it would be if I travel, I'm always going to try new food as long as I know that, one, there's a toilet somewhere, and two, worst case, there's actually jollof at home.
I like that.
The kind of person I am.
That's
like,
you.
I'm going out to try new things, but there has to be, one, a toilet so that when things go back, I'm good, and two, we actually have to have food at home. So if I don't like this, my bases are covered. Do you get? That's the kind of person I am. And the problem with that, though, is sometimes it still limits the enthusiasm with which you try new things, and that could translate to maybe the timing of trying new things or the intensity or whatever. But I just always like to know that, listen, no, my bases are covered, though. I'm covered before I try to now start to make calculated risks and all those kind of things.
I feel you, man.
Changes is not easy to deal with. And as you get older, you find that it's easier to fall into your habits and just stay there.
Yes, it's easier.
Like, what do you mean I should come out and now start talking to, like, 1,000 new people every day in front in a distant conference that I know nothing about? Screw all of you. There's already people like, I know, let me keep to that. You get that kind of vibe. It's not easy to deal with that kind of change.
It is so hard. Like, it is so hard. But I'm trying to, like, God, please help me.
You're trying to walk out of it.
Yes, I'm trying to let go of the fear. Like, again, I cling to the familiar. It's easier. Mm. And sometimes the familiar can be doing me harm.
Oh, for sure.
But it's just sometimes,
for sure, some
the harm is familiar.
Yeah,
the same thing with me, even when it comes to anxiety. And I recognize about myself that I'm very used to being anxious. It's like,
you feel like it's a default setting at this point.
It is. It's bad. I pray to God to deliver me, but it is, it really is. And when I get to, sometimes the Lord will give me peace. Like, I'm not worried about anything. And it can go on for days. And it's so nice. But then I start to it starts to feel odd.
Yeah, you start to worry about the fact that you're not worrying.
Yes. I'm not like, should I be worried about that thing?
Exactly.
It feels like if I'm not worried about that then thing, something is a wrong. Problem. Oh my God. Listen,
you know, it's actually crazy because I've not been an anxious person all my life, but of late, this year particularly, and probably because of the age I'm turning, and probably because of the fact that, I don't know, I feel certain, I feel, maybe because of the way the country is, the age I'm turning and all that, I'm starting to realize the amount of things outside my control, and it's giving me worry. So that's the way I define my own anxiety, because it's like, all these things I want to, you know, when you're young, you have a bright, like if they tell you what you want to be by this time, you answer. If they say, oh, this is, what do you like, what do you want to do, blah, blah, blah. But as I'm getting older, I'm realizing that there is so much that is out of my control that affects my daily life. And I have to deal with that.
Too many things.
Like, it is so mad. Recently, I was talking with my uncle and I was explaining to him that, oh, yeah, that, you know, I'm fine and all that kind of stuff. That my major thing is because I'm not, like, paying any excessive bills. So my life is sort of smooth. And he was laughing and he was saying that the truth is what really drives people a lot is that fear of not knowing where the next thing will come from. And if you're able to at least reduce those fears, he didn't say you can eradicate all of it, he said if you can reduce the things that you're actually afraid of, you see that your life starts to get better. And he was just talking about how since I'm not like, I don't have any fixed bills like rent, for instance, so it makes my life slightly, it makes my mind slightly calmer. And it made me think about it, because what are the things that give us anxiety really? Oh my God, my future. Oh my God, like, my wife, my kids, my career, my, like, these are things that at every point in time, one thing can change, like, a million things. Like, so it's why, like, people, like you were saying, people can be in bad relationships.
Yeah.
But it's like, bro, I've been with this guy, like, for how long? I can't break up now because am I going to enter the streets?
Yeah.
Like, bro, I can't deal with the streets.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are real things, like, you hear people who are, and that's why, like, when people talk about, even like abusive relationships, that's why they are so nuanced in so many ways, because people say, why don't they just leave? And I'll be honest, you know, sometimes it's a question to that, especially when you see someone being
maltreated,
battered. Like, you want to shake the person, like, and bro, be like, just guy, go. Like, leave.
But despite
but,
that,
exactly, it's hard.
It's hard. It's the
it's,
same way.
It's what they are used to. Sometimes it's maybe finances are dependent. Exactly. Sometimes maybe, you know, the kids, the family.
It's the same thing with us and jobs, you know. Yes. You'll be telling someone to leave an abusive relationship. Meanwhile, you're working at a company you don't like. You've been complaining about for 2 years and you just can't. Like, people are like, bro, just quit. Like, to do what? Like, do you get, like, life is actually so nuanced.
Listen.
It is so difficult sometimes.
See, and that's why, like, if we can try and, like, I guess, empathize with people and understand that even if you don't get that particular situation, you can find a situation where you've been in that. Like, if you, even if it's not a job, I mean, if it's, even if it's not a relationship that you have experienced, you kind of know what it means to remain in a situation or in a place where you don't want to, but you don't feel like you have no choice.
True.
What I would, just so that we can end this, because somewhere else to go, what I would just kind of end by saying is, I would say one, come to understand that change takes courage.
It does.
And I think that's where we need to, like, kind of, like, start from, is that change takes a lot of courage.
It does.
You know, it's not like a, oh yeah, let me do this. We are all very, we all, it's just easier for us to be in situations that is just comfortable to us. You know, nobody wants to be hurt. That's why you even see some people who have commitment issues.
Oh, facts.
The commitment issues come from a place of, I don't want to be hurt. Ultimately, that's where it's stemming from.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to be hurt. But what is it that someone said, and this was in regards to heartbreak or in regards to commitment issues, and I think can apply to a lot of other things, that if you close your heart, you know, yes, maybe things are not getting in, but nothing else. Like, okay, maybe pain, you have guarding yourself from pain, but you're also guarding yourself coming from every other good thing else that could enter.
Yeah, true.
So, and I think that applies to everything else. I'm not gonna lie, that when I changed my laptop battery, that was like, it was almost like an eye-opening moment for me. in regards to how I deal with change. And
that's true. Your laptop was spoiled for a long time.
I mean, the battery was bad for so
long.
Yeah,
for so long, yeah.
And I just... I was scared that if they touch the battery...
Then everything else will
A lot of things will go wrong.
Ah.
Valid, but the battery is bad.
Yeah, it is.
And it's inconvenient.
Do you feel like this happens to, or this affects your view on Jakpa? Where you feel, because you know you're an advocate for Nigeria. Well, not advocate per se, but do you think like you don't want to go because of the number of things involved?
No.
Okay.
I mean, yes and no. So okay. I think initially one of the things that used to make me nervous about Jakpa was probably that my situation with my bank situation.
Okay.
Which, again, was one of those things that I came to realize there was nothing to be worried about all this time. But I think there was that influence. But no, I think my whole thing with Jakpa really just came from a place of it really is not that easy. And it's not the solution for everything. Okay. I still maintain that. Okay. I still don't think it's a solution for everything. Yeah. And I think that some people make the decision very lightly.
Yeah.
I think they don't think about it deeply because we've heard a lot of stories even now and people are not prepared enough. Mm. You know, they have an assumption. Some people have an assumption that this is exactly how it will go.
And it's never really like that.
It never really goes like that. Yeah. But if you go with the mindset of knowing what to expect and knowing how long it will take and understanding that everywhere have their problems, but it's, you know that, okay, this is the problem that I'm ready to take on.
Yeah,
jiggets rather than take on these problems, and I think everybody will be okay. But no, I still feel like one can make those changes. I think about it all the time, okay. Even myself. Like,
okay, I was just checking.
No, I don't know. I mean, it might have a slight influence, but not really.
Okay,
because if I had the funds,
yeah,
I might. Although I already said it before, like I like living in Nigeria too. Still,
yeah.
So I might do like a thing where it's like.
Winter, I get to be summer. In
both
places
at that's every like, year.
That's what everybody would do ideally. But yeah.
So for change, change takes courage.
It does.
Fear is...
So you see the thing, to end the conversation though, because I feel this is... I like to do this with guests. Let's see later in the year because I think there's so much more we haven't touched on because... It's like a whole therapy thing, man. This idea that, especially as you get older, you get more cautious. It's like absolutely. All that enthusiasm you could do at 20 is like, bro, there are bills to pay. You can't
take those type
You can't just be doing anything anyhow man. Like,
but one, like, I wish we could let ourselves go of the pressure and of the
fear. Anxiety.
Because ultimately, like we said before, the world, this life is... So, and I'm trying to let go of it, to be honest. I've been trying to ask myself, if I did not get the things that I felt like would bring happiness to me, how would I feel? Because that's also the problem. A lot of people make going into certain things because they think it'll make them happy.
Yeah.
Even the whole thing about Jakpa, sometimes, yes, some people are unhappy because they are not, they know that they need to change their environment.
Yeah.
There is that. But sometimes also, even one can make swift decisions thinking that it will instantly make them happy.
Yeah.
And it will not.
Yeah.
You're just unhappy in a different place.
That's
just light. What it is. There's light, but there's still...
There's good transport.
Probably.
But
still. But it doesn't change the fact that like you're still anxious all the time and fearful.
Yeah.
And afraid of making... you're making changes in your life. So, change takes courage. We need to try and learn how to not be afraid. And I think it goes back to like rooting out where fear is coming from and trying to deal with that. I'm trying to do that.
Well, the root cause of fear is what we should all try and address. And then maybe as we get older, we should try not to lose our enthusiasm. Yes, it's not easy, but you know, you have to constantly try and evolve. You know, I used to say this earlier on when we started the podcast that you should always be 100% towards the process, never the results. Enjoy the process. The results might come, they might not come, but the lessons are in the process.
True.
So it's always that. Those are the things that I guess keep me going. But even as somebody, like I said, like I still try to change when I've made sure that my bases are covered. So it's still something that to an extent encourages me. Like, yeah, we should all try to embrace change, even if it means that it might just be comfortable with the unfamiliar, you know, and then it might help you to live a more fulfilled life, because everything you want is on the other side of fear, just like Will Smith said. So it's good to every now and then try it.
Yeah.
But again, we might know all these things, but to practice it is an entirely different issue. Because everybody knows the right thing to say at the right time. But when it's time to do it, that's when we start to cough.
That's the problem. It is well, man.
Fear of change. Very, 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 very big thing. Very, very, very big thing. It's easy to stay comfortable and familiar. But yeah, we move. Okay. Song recommendations.
My first one is One Love. It's from the Bob Marley soundtrack.
Keep us together. Not that one.
No, this is from the Bob Marley in the movie soundtrack. Inspired by the film. So One Love by Wizkid.
All I need is One Love.
How does the song go again?
Are you sure it's not the one I just sang?
No.
All I need is your love. Yeah.
No. Oh my God. Let me play it again. Why?
Oh no, sorry, that's Sweet Love. Sorry.
One love, one heart.
Let's get together and feel. Okay, that's the one. Then Wizkid sang that?
It's from the soundtrack.
Oh, from the soundtrack.
By the film.
Okay.
He did a good job, I thought. Yeah.
He tends to.
Yeah, it sounded really good.
Okay.
So I think in the album they got like different people to kind of cover.
Okay.
Popular Bob Marley songs.
That's casual.
Second one is Back to Life. Studio version.
Back to Life.
Not that one.
Okay.
I see why you would think that.
Yeah.
But no. By Bethel Music and Zaria Zachary.
Okay.
And the last one is Breathe by Maverick City Music featuring Oh, there you go.
Mavericks. Okay. This week I was listening to Hit the Road, Jack. Don't come back no more. No. Do you know that song?
No, I don't know that song.
Ah, Ray Charles, Hit the Road, Jack. Mm-mm. Anyway, that's my song recommendation. And Jason Mraz, I'm Yours. Jesus Christ. When you don't feel it, you better felt it. To try to beat you, but you so hot that I melted. I fell right through the crack. Jason Mraz. Now I'm trying to get back. Really?
It's not the one I sang. Tell me another popular song you sang.
I can't think of any.
I used to listen to Jason Mraz very much.
Yeah, he had his period now, which is what was that hat he used to wear? I can't think of any other.
Yes,
and
I just saw his face now. He's
the same person, right?
Is him?
Yeah.
What is I won't give up on us.
Is that a song of his?
Yeah.
Well, I guess.
Oh my God! Let me find the.
But is Isha I'm Yours by Jason Mraz? I can't believe you don't know Hit the Road, Jack. That's tragic. Hit the road, Jack. Don't come back no more.
I know
no
I've heard
more,
the phrase,
no
Hit the Road,
more,
Jack.
No more. Wow. Anyway. Those two. Let me see. Is there anything I wanted to say before we leave? I was eavesdropping this week.
Jesus.
At the gym. And this guy was talking about how it's not. He said it in pidgin. Said it no good to need help for life. Now there you go. No say person like you or he no like you. He said it casually, and I was like, "Omo, it's true, man. Needing help is a very, very interesting time."
Everybody needs help, babe.
I'm telling you, this week I had to ask somebody to adjust a machine for me, and I was like, "Now, this is so weird," because you're meant to be like, "Chief, babe, how do you?" And you know what was funny? I found myself laughing at myself because I'm like, "Why did you even think it was that deep?" But then later on, I was like, "I guess this is just life. We're in our heads a lot.
We're really
in our heads a lot." But yeah, guys. That's the episode for this week. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope it was a light-hearted one. Next week, I need to talk to you about this guy who took a $2.1 million bribe from a company that was owing $2.4 billion. Does that make sense?
That one, they take risk now.
Ah,
see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.